Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That is
no.
What it's is the it? Wedding anniversary, police.
The what?
And somebody had a wedding anniversary. Happy wedding
anniversary.
What
is wedding anniversary, police?
I don't know. I just wanted to, you know, that was my segue to it. Eddie, you've been married for 8 long, beautiful years. Congratulations.
Plus three more.
Oh, never mind. 11 wonderful years.
Where'd you get 8?
I don't know. I thought I saw 8 on your Facebook post, but congratulations.
Thanks.
You know, in California years, you've actually been married for 36 years.
I know. I should be on my third wife by now.
Yeah, you should be. And you should have been on your third wife and your fourth girlfriend by now.
But that's still amazing. The first wife.
No, that's amazing. And you know what's really cool? You know, I know this and our listeners don't. But you and Tracy, you went to the same high school, correct?
We did. Same college.
And then you went to the same college. You were college sweethearts.
No, we weren't.
You were high school sweethearts?
No.
Oh, never mind.
You just had your eye. You don't know absolutely nothing.
Basically, you were just stalking your
you know absolutely
your wife to be.
You know the names. That's the only thing you got right in this whole.
I do. I do know the names. I do know the name. Well, tell us how you guys met. That's a pretty big anniversary.
Not really, just 11.
Well, no, but that's
not
huge.
Like 25 or 50.
No, but you know what? 11 in California.
I think 11 that's huge. Is like the paperclip anniversary.
Well, it's just like we already did the 10.
It's like 10.
So it's like turning 22. Yeah. It's like, I did 21 big last year.
It's like, now
year.
What?
Now what do I do?
No, we were friends in high school and college. I moved out here to fortune and fame. And
of course.
And she moved out like a year later.
Oh, so you met in L.A.? I mean, you met
me.
A kid?
No, she moved out. She's like, "Hey, Eddie, I'm moving out. I don't have a place to stay. Can I?
And you
I
put
need
the
a roommate.
Yeah, you put the old. So, yeah, I got a place for you to.
I got a permanent roommate for.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I think Joe told me that you dated in college.
No,
Joe.
Joe doesn't know anything either.
Yeah, you know what, Joe?
Stop listening to people.
That's enough of Joe. No, but it's pretty amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I think it's an amazing accomplishment, and
it takes a lot of. Work.
Did you do anything romantic for your wife? Or at 11 years, you're probably like,
I got her some
you
flowers.
You want to get a grilled cheese? Oh, that's nice. You got her flowers,
bought
too?
Her bracelet. Bought
Dude.
Her bracelet.
Oh, you know what? We love that. When you get past the cynical crust around Eddie's energy and vibe, you get to this pure romantic.
I'm a Cancer. I feel way deep down inside. I put up a shell. I'm a Cancer. I'm a crab.
That's awesome. So you got our bracelet. You got our flowers.
Yeah.
That's nice. Did she get you like a lightsaber?
Nothing. Got me absolutely nothing.
What? Tracy!
She did this. She does this every year. I always get her flowers and like some type of jewelry for our anniversary every year. And she was like, I thought we weren't doing anything this year. Every year.
You're like, I got something you can give. Oh, I'm just kidding.
No, come on.
No, I mean, that we have to have a little talk with Tracy.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do.
You know what? I'll tell her to get you another WWF World Championship belt.
Yeah, please, something.
And then
something I can
play
with.
It'll be even. Then you both have jewelry.
I know.
How was your week? What did you do?
Had a couple shows. I had a show at the Ice House. It was fun. Good times.
That's awesome. Pasadena. Yeah. That's my hood.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first comedy club I ever went to.
It's the best comedy club in town.
You know,
or
that's,
in local
it's,
town.
It's, I hear that from a lot of comics. Everybody loves it.
Because it's just far enough outside of L.A. where it doesn't feel like an L.A. club.
Right.
And so there's actually like
well, not only that, like everybody loves comedy out there. Like everybody
loves
it. Yeah,
because it's like people go, hey, let's go to the comedy club tonight. It's not like in L.A. where you go to the improv or whatever and people are like, I'm here to see my friend and I guess it's these other 5 comics.
Or there's like a room full of agents just like, okay, get on with it, come on.
Right outside, it's just night. It feels like you're like at a comedy club anywhere else in the country.
What I like about it too is it's not like this ginormous room. Like the Comedy Store is kind of not intimate. Laugh Factory.
Well, it depends on which room at the Comedy Store.
Well, the main room is the belly is huge. Room. Is that the belly room?
Belly room is small. It's like the room we're in right now.
Okay, well, they're not the belly room. The big room.
The main room is huge.
Yeah, the main room is huge. And I'm just like, I don't know how comics can really feel connected.
It's not. You can't connect.
But in the Ice House, what I love about it is it's really quaint.
It's like, yeah, it's only like 100 some people, 150 but they, people, 120
they cram
people.
Them in there, but I mean, it's like, and it's pretty decent food, and it's pretty, it's a pretty great cool vibe, good drinks. A
lot of history.
A lot of history. A lot of people have gone through there. That's amazing.
Yeah.
When did you do that?
My phone just went off.
Uh-oh. Your Apple phone.
My Apple Watch.
you're such a tech slut.
What'd you ask?
I said, when did
you
do this?
I was distracted by my Apple Watch.
I know.
When did I do it? Saturday.
You
had a show
endorsement
Saturday.
Now. Saturday. You plugged them twice.
Saturday night.
You're like, my Apple Watch. My
Come on, Apple.
We need this guy.
They'll probably charge me for mentioning their name.
They're like, we heard.
We heard you mention our name. That's you owe us $20.
I was a little disappointed that you told me that the Apple Watch, you have to like have your phone on you to use it.
Well, yeah, it just mirrors your phone.
That's not
Well, actually, exciting. With the new update, they can do. You can actually run apps off of the watch now, but still.
Yeah, but I thought you could be able to, you'd talk into it, and it's like you can watch TV on it. It's like you don't need your phone.
Why would you
anymore?
Want to watch TV on your wrist? That just seems like
well, you can just put it on a table, and then it's just as good as
you're just like you really. If you have to watch TV on your wrist.
You know what? It'd be a good thing to do if you go somewhere and you're by yourself, and you're like you want to look like you're really interested in something. You know, everybody's done that. Like, and everybody uses their phone. It's the go-to. So, like, you would be that guy. Like, man, that guy.
Yeah, but it's
really...
actually not comfortable to stare at your wrist like that.
No, it wouldn't be. And people would be like, dude, somebody needs to tell that guy what time it is.
Just somebody can't. That guy, poor guy, can't read a watch. Someone get him a digital face.
I would be the one that walked up to you and be like, yo, the big hand is the hour. The long hand
the
is
big hand
I mean,
is the
sorry,
hour. You don't even know. You don't even know.
The short hand is the hour. The big hand. Well, I always think the big hand is the minute and the short hand is
You're just
the
confusing
hour.
Yourself and
but
other
I'm
people.
But I'm confusing myself because of the duration of each arm. Right? The hand.
I actually can hear people falling asleep listening to this right now.
That's terrible. You think they're siding with you or me?
Did you go to Van Halen? Did you go to Van Halen?
I did go to Van Halen. Dude, I have to tell
you,
Eddie, you were right on.
Was I? I told you.
You were, I mean, it was disgusting how right on
you were. How horrible David Lee Roth is now.
I mean, okay, so here's the thing.
I loved him, and he, like, I saw him 3 years ago. The band is amazing.
Eddie Van Halen is
I would go watch him do 2 hours of guitar solo.
You know what? I said the same exact thing to my
but
brother.
But then David Lee Roth opens his mouth and ruins Panama.
See,
I
saw him do Panama with the Foo Fighters. One song for David, what's the guy's name? I'm blanking. Dave Grohl's birthday. Yeah. And it was amazing. I mean, he was doing the kicks. He was singing his ass off, but it was one song. So for me, I was like, dude, I've got to see Van Halen.
He doesn't have it anymore. I don't know what he's doing.
And you know what? You were so right with the wood stage.
Yeah,
and
he cares more about
the
dancing
than
the
major,
show.
Like, mace. I mean, I was like.
Just play the songs,
Oh, it
man.
Was such a. But you know what? I will say this. To hear those songs live just once in my life was amazing. Running with the Devil, Dance the Night Away, Jump, all those tunes. I mean, they had like 7 or 8humongous
but
songs.
He ruined it for me.
He can't sing the notes. He
just talks it.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's. Were you the one that told me that he breaks down the show and does like an.
Yes!
Dude, I
could. Did he do
believe,
that again?
Yeah, he did it
again.
Oh,
with the dogs? The movie of the dogs in the background?
No, he didn't have the dogs. But he was like playing harmonica and it was just like. You know, I've got a harmonica player in my band, and he makes fun of like harmonica players that do what David Lee Roth did. He calls them boozer bluesers, and that's what he is. So, you know, it was just kind of not great. But I'll tell you, Eddie Van Halen came out for the first encore and played probably a 15-minute solo.
Yeah. That makes it worth
it. One of the most incredible, probably the most important.
It makes the whole
amazing
thing worth
guitar
it.
Solo. I've ever seen. So, like to me, I was like. Holy shit, he is...
He's insane.
He's insane. And, like, his son's okay on bass.
Yeah,
Alex
just,
is
it's worth,
not the
It's
same.
Worth sitting through David Lee Roth just to see Eddie Van Halen play.
But I don't know why he doesn't tour by himself.
I don't know.
Because I think most people would know that he is worth the ticket of admission.
You would think.
But, I mean, honestly, it was like... I was telling my brother, I'm like, oh my God, Eddie was right. Because I told my brother, I'm like, this is what Eddie said. And then my brother was like, tell Eddie his, like... His criticisms of the Van Halen show were so spot on that had he told me that before, I probably wouldn't even have to go.
You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it, though. And then
you
go and
you're
like,
totally
ugh.
Right. But it was great to hear those songs once. You know, the funny thing, I never, if somebody told me, hey, you're going to see Def Leppard, hey, you're going to see Van Halen, to me, I'd be like, dude, Van Halen's going to kick their ass. Dude, Def Leppard was awesome. And Van Halen, nah.
I saw Motley Crue and Poison together, and I was like, oh, Motley Crue's going to be rad. Poison blew them off the stage. Poison.
Yeah, well, that happens. Bret Michaels. Anyways, I think our two lovely guests have arrived. Miss Jessica Franz. Did I say your last name right? Tell me the truth. France, right?
France.
Oh, she sounds so much cooler than I did.
France.
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 And Alex Lampsos.
Hello.
Lampsos?
You got a lot of consonants in your
Lampsos.
First name is okay. It's Alex.
You have no
idea. But it's Alex Lampsos. It's like Lampsos. You get through
what's
the
nationality
L.
there?
It is of Greek origin.
Greek?
It is of Greek origin. Yes. I like that. Well, we're going to give you an applause because you're here. You made it. So, Jessica, you are the writer and director, and Alex, you are the producer of a new amazing short film called Chew. Chew!
Chew.
Not based on the hit TV show, The Chew.
Oh, I never knew there was a hit TV show.
Yeah, it's about how much people that cook food all day in front of an audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean the morning?
Yeah.
I know. This movie, Chew, would chew the chew.
Yeah, I would chew it up and then poop it out.
Chew guys got to see this movie.
Well, to my defense, and this is not even a lie, I had the idea for this title about 15 years ago.
Oh, so you totally.
So I'm safe.
Well, Chew is the name of the main character, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So tell us, okay, let's just get down to the nitty gritty, all right? Let's just get down to the nucleus of why we're here, all right? You guys made a movie. How did this come about? What was the inspiration behind it all?
Oh, well, that's a good question to ask.
It's the only one we got, so
I know.
Can you stretch it for 40 minutes?
Let me talk about that for an hour. Well,
just kidding.
Thanks, that's a great start. Well, basically, I was looking for an idea for my first film that I would be really behind and like a really step on to the world with, you know, this is my voice, this is the kind of movie I like to make. Romantic comedies are my favorite, so I love dramas too. So we kind of like made it a romantic drama. And well, my father unfortunately passed 7 years ago, so seeing that the impact of that in my life and myself and how that, you know, how much that had an effect on me, it was a no-brainer to, you know, talk about that. And yeah,
that's a major obstacle or major thing for her. The character Chew in the movie is her father passed away.
Right. So we don't start there. We start way later.
Right.
It was like the
it's like what's happened in the aftermath of his
death.
The
aftermath, exactly. Like she comes back home and suddenly is confronted with all these memories and all this life that she used to have and her mother's depression after that and, you know, all of that, how much the life has changed, and she has such trouble finding a new meaning and sense and grounding in her life.
So you said you had the idea for the title, the name Chew, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
But what? But your father passed 7 years ago.
Yes.
So were you working on a story sort of like this?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was writing. I've been writing for a long time, actually, but I never, like, this is my fourth short film, I think.
Okay.
So I've been doing this for a long time, but I was an actress, as you know, Nikhil, for a long, long time.
She called me Nikhil. Nobody calls me Nikhil. Mm-hmm. Actually, you do, too.
Wait, is that wrong?
I call Nikhil, too.
No, most people call me Nikki. Yeah.
Nikki.
It's okay. I like Nikhil, though. It's good. It makes you feel all warm.
But
inside.
You're Nikhil.
No, I know. That's
your name.
I like it. It's like,
okay.
All right, I feel good.
So, yeah, my transitional phase was, you know, took a long time, so that's why. So the idea was to have a girl that is very on the edge all the time, very nervous and everything, and she chews gum. And that's where the name came from.
Interesting.
So, yes.
And so what? So you had the idea for the film 15 years ago?
No. That was the title.
Just the title. Yeah. You just wanted something named Chew.
Well, she was also a drifter.
Okay.
But
so you just had the idea for a character.
Now it made sense. Like, the story came to life.
So having your father pass gave you that anchor
I know what she's going through and what it is. So during that time, soon after I moved here from Germany, so I felt like a drifter. I mean, everything was new. I didn't know anybody other than my now husband.
I couldn't even imagine coming from a different... I mean, it's weird coming from a different state to Los Angeles.
Yeah, another country.
I couldn't imagine coming from another country.
It's a whole different world.
You have no idea.
Like, that's insane.
She's from Germany, right?
Yes.
What city in Germany?
Well, it's you're like all tiny.
Germania.
Friedberg.
Okay. I've been kind of near it.
You
but
don't
not
know where that is.
I do.
Where?
It's kind of near Dresden, isn't it?
Not at all.
Okay, that was a guess. I just
like the furthest from Dresden.
It's an hour. It's an hour east. Dortmund. Wouldn't it have been awesome if I was like, it's an hour east from Berlin? You were like, yeah, yeah. Actually, you do know. And there's a little market. There's a little schnitzel market
that's
right
so
on the corner.
True. None of that schnitzel has market. Any reason? No, it's near Dortmund.
Okay.
Gütersloh, Bielefeld. Some people know it.
What I loved about your movie, and this is not giving things away, I'm going to mention two things. One, I love the parallel of the trajectory of what somebody's potential is before something tragic happens in their life and how that changed and how they deal with it and recover. Because that's real shit. Because that's like life, you know? The other thing is, and this is not giving anything away, I love the scene where someone's chewing gum and another character says, hey, can I get a piece of that? And she just takes the piece of gum that she's chewing. She's like,
yeah, but that was foreplay.
Well, I know, but
now you're giving it away.
Now I'm giving away, but great. That was for.
But you know, the thing is,
yeah, but that's not just like.
But that's a good teaser.
That's a good
now
teaser.
People are like, I want to see foreplay.
That was foreplay for
that
them.
That was foreplay.
She doesn't just do that with everybody.
No, but it was really cool that. And then she opened a new piece of gum.
Like if her mom, if her mom was like, "Hey, can I have a piece of gum?" She'd be like, "There you go." I mean, that was foreplay for that.
I got it. I was reading the undertones.
Well, I can't,
there was a reason behind.
Honestly, I can't take credit for that. It was Matt. Idea.
Okay.
That was Matt's
I liked
idea.
It. I liked it a lot.
Who's Matt?
Matt's our husband. Who's an amazing guitarist who's been a guest on our show. He was one of the first guests we had. We're going to bring him back.
Like
don't
a long
worry.
Time ago.
Long time
ago.
Matt
was over at the other place?
Yes. Okay. That all those guests are now a blur to you. That's that.
Honestly.
They don't exist.
Everything since July.
So, Alex, how did you kind of cross paths with Jessica? How did you get involved with this project? What made you a believer in it?
Well, it's all been so serendipitous to me because I, you know, a lot of times in filmmaking, I find that you don't really predict what's going to come in the near future when you meet someone. And so I had met her through some of the films that I was producing last summer. I needed a set photographer, videographer, and I knew that she was quite talented in that field, and that's how we actually first met. It was through being on set together so many times that we learned a lot about our ambitions and what we want to make possible in the next little while. And that's when she described the story to me, and it really, I mean, I'm really not just saying this because we're on air. I really...
No, let it all out.
Well, I'll turn our mics off and you can talk about it.
No, because she's, you know, sitting next to me about to slap me if I don't say this, but no, she... No, but it was not a hard thing at all to realize that this is definitely something that I need to take on because, you know, for me and many others, I'm sure we just want to try to make a difference in anything that we take on. And the fact that there was such a unique romantic story within that also touches on the humanity behind Chu and as well the other lead who is played by Hunter Garner. That duo for me in that story really resonated, and that's why I really wanted to make it possible.
Awesome. Yeah. And he was a great find because I mean he was such a unique energy in the film. You know what I mean? That's what I liked. It was just kind of like I wanted to know. He had a little bit of mystery, but he had a little bit of like cynicism with a lot of positivity. You know what I mean?
That is exactly what we told him to do.
And it was perfect.
Hunter,
I mean,
are you listening?
Yeah, he's like, I am
Nick
listening.
Loves you. Yeah.
No, it was great. Yeah. And same with, what's her name?
Nora Wyman.
Yeah. I almost called her Wyoming. I don't know why. Because her last name is like Wyman or something.
Yeah, we call her that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Nora, what was interesting, I mean, I did some like background check, but it was interesting. She's like she went to the Groundlings and went to Upright Citizens Brigade and studied comedy and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then she's doing this dramatic role, which is not an easy transition.
No,
and
it
you
is.
Know this. You think so?
Drama is so much easier than comedy. Yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
Well,
I think it's just tough making a transition.
I have to say, I heard that as well. A lot of
I'm not saying what she did was easy.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't. It's much easier for a comedian to transition into dramatic role than for someone who's never done comedy and just solely drama and to try to do comedy.
I agree. I think comedy is the hardest, and I've actually heard that somewhere. I forgot who said it, but if you want to get something done,
yeah,
Shakespeare
really
said, cast a comedian from Groundlings now, in your drama.
If you want someone to really fill out a dramatic role, cast a comedian.
That's interesting.
Eddie's like, here's my headshot.
That's a plug for me.
Oh,
I'm available
here
at this website.
EddiePence.com.
I can do
EddiePence.com. I'm on IMDb too.
No, that was, you know what? That was a very well played, Eddie.
way to promote. Way to take their time and promote yourself.
Subtle.
He's like looking for his business.
No, but I'm
cards.
Serious. Like, I'm serious. Like, I'm not shocked at all. She went through Groundlings and UCB. Like, comedians.
Well, she carried all the, like, depths of character really well, and I was a little bit surprised that she had so much of a comedic background. For me, I mean, I'm not an actor, but I mean, you know, it was just interesting to see that. That was you would think, oh, Academy of Art, dramatic, this and that. That would have made sense, but seeing that she went to two comedic schools and then she was doing a drama.
No,
I was
there's
like,
no more tortured soul than a comedian.
That's true. That's
seriously. Get it, Eddie.
Get it. Where's seriously. Your drama? Where's your fucking drama? It's waiting to happen.
It's all buried
just
under
like,
the
I'm
comedy.
Just like, but people, you get that stigma with comedians all the time. I'm like, it doesn't surprise me that you would cast a comedian in that role.
Well, you know what? Her comedy was definitely not suppressed on set. She was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
She's probably like, hey guys, listen. Seriously. I got another joke. Just hold on for it. Hold on. Oh, just
too late. That was so late. You should have seen him frantically going through his iPhone.
I know.
It's
like,
oh,
where is it?
I deal with it every week.
He's just like, dude, serious. But I like, it's kind of, I like to antagonize Eddie. It's part of the joy.
So if I may share the story, how he actually found Nora, because that's a super interesting story. I mean,
I was going to say,
talking about serendipity.
Yeah.
We literally... We were so lucky. We had an amazing casting director, Nikki Katz, and we looked at thousands of actresses. You know, it's funny because we have so many more women in this town, but it was really hard to find, like, somebody who's done a lot and who has great experience and, you know, everything that you said, like, depth and the looks and the, you know, because she's a drifter. Like, she can't be too pretty, you know, and a lot of women here go for the sophisticated roles and all that stuff because there's more of them, you know, more TV stuff and everything does that. So we were looking for somebody really real, really authentic, who can connect to character. So we actually looked at some amazing actresses, like really, you know, they've done a lot of stuff and everything.
And you're like, nope.
Like, it was like, nope. And I'm not saying, like, we saw amazing people, you know, great talent. It just didn't feel right, you know.
Did you audition them in person?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes, we did. Not all of thousands,
no,
but
that would take,
we made a selection. Yeah.
The movie wouldn't have been finished by
yes. So long story short, again, Matt, for some reason, like, he's my husband, so of course I'm not surprised, but he remembered Nora.
Hmm.
We saw her doing stand-up 5 years ago. And he was like, what about this girl, blah, blah, blah. So we investigated, and we're like, okay, what was her name? 2 days later, we run into her.
Whoa.
At a restaurant.
That's weird.
And Matt goes up to her and is like, my wife and I, we're looking for you.
And she's just like,
She's like, okay, I'm going to go this way. But it was amazing. You know. And then we started talking and I, you know, chatted with her and everything. And then it was like, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. Her mother had died the year before.
Oh, wow.
From cancer.
Mm.
So that's why the performance.
So she had a lot to pull from.
Oh, my God. She was, like, so raw on set, and she's, like, still blossoming, you know? She was, like me, off the market because she was grieving so hard that I was so happy to find her.
Right.
That now she's, like, getting into it, and she's so talented.
And there was something about the birthdays.
Right? And then she has the same birthday as my father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's, like, serendipitous. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of signs that you're, like, how can we look away? let me ask you this. Once you found her, did you have to audition?
That was the crazy thing. You know, I called Alex and told him that. I'm like, she has the same birthday as my father. I'm like crying over here. And he was saying, well, we should still, you know, see her and see what's going on. I'm like, well, I already know. Yeah. She's the one, you know.
Awesome.
But
that's
we had
awesome.
To
All she's
going
to do is come in and ruin it.
Don't be cynical, Eddie. This is a beautiful, touching, you know, serendipitous thing.
I think that's the word of our session, serendipitous.
You know what? That's what it is. Yeah. It's like there's something when you make something as a collective that things just have to fall into place.
Right.
You know, and it's like you plan and plan and plan. It's not going to matter.
No.
All that matters is those things that fall into place. And then that's like the wonderful thing about movies, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, the unpredictability aspect. You know, that's actually what makes it exciting for me. But,
well, and then you capture it on film, and then we get to witness that.
You're very welcome.
You know, no, honestly, it was awesome. I want to talk to you about how you found Hunter, too. So where did you find that character? And was the character in a wheelchair before him, or was it just something that you met him and he influenced the story?
That's awesome. Alex, you want to start with that?
Yeah, I'll talk about Hunter. Hunter was part of our audition process. We were going through a lot of casting sessions, and, you know, when we found him through the headshots and whatever, that was, you know, that was the first indication to us that there's something there. We definitely loved the look, and it kind of aligned with exactly what we were going for. Meeting him was quite the special experience because, again, there was incredible talent that we saw, but he was one of the firsts where we literally just, you know, you get enveloped in realizing that there they are. You know, they're sitting right in front of us, and that's exactly the feel that we wanted. And so it was quite easy to actually cast him because he was so on point. And then the chemistry reads and, you know, getting him to actually be with another lead and seeing how that chemistry would go was equally rewarding.
And what was even also crazy is that he actually had an accident
right
after high school, I believe.
Yes.
And he had been in a chair for a month.
Oh, wow.
So he came into the audition wheeling up. He's like doing wheelies
in the
audition. And we're
like,
you are so comfortable already. He was acting like, you know, he is the guy. And we're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Wow.
And then it just like continued from there, you know. I mean, you're an actor, so, you know, there's all kinds of methods in here and everything. And he came in and he wanted to know everything. Hunter was so dedicated. I mean, he spent hours in the wheelchair. He didn't leave the chair.
Well, it has
a
to become
week
part of you,
before the shoot.
As a side note, I don't know if we actually mentioned, but yes, the other lead is a T6 paraplegic, and that's, you know, they connect when she returns back home and sees him for the first time.
And he was
so
dedicated. I mean, he didn't leave the chair the week before the shoot, you know?
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, he lived it, and he really wanted to, like, dive into it, and that was our biggest concern, you know, to have somebody authentically portray this who's not, although we did see a few paraplegics for the role, but it didn't just, you know, quite
fit. That was beyond believable for me. And you know what? Wow. It was also like there were little things that I noticed. I don't know if you picked up on this too, Eddie, but like that's one of the things when I see, okay, you have your main character in a wheelchair. What's his body language in the chair? Mm-hmm. Is he comfortable with the wheels? What, like, there were times where he was speaking where I was actually looking at his hands and how they were groping the wheels in a way that was natural. And it was like all those things were, I thought he was just born that way, and you know, it was just it was believable for me.
Well, that's an indication of his commitment for sure. He was really on top of it all.
Now, is this the, you said you directed other shorts, or is this the okay? So, I didn't know if this was like
I'm available for all your future shorts.
Do you have anything on the plate coming? No, I was wondering.
Have you seen my reel?
I was wondering.
Let me just play it for you real quick.
I'll just eddiepence.com. Let's type it in.
Yeah, you got it. We can play back later.
No, I was wondering if this was your first, because it doesn't feel like a first timer short film. You know, it feels like someone who knew what they were doing behind a camera.
You. That's awesome.
Because I've seen shorts, but hey, it's my first short. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's definitely your first short.
That's your first one. I did three because I never went to film school. I studied acting and
Ever go to film school. I went to film school.
And I learned everything. I spent a lot of time with film students.
Yeah.
At the Ludwigsburg Film Academy, which is the biggest film
school
we have.
Can you just say that again? It was just cool to hear that.
Ludwigsburg Film Academy.
I love the German.
Ludwigsburg.
They go to, their short films go to the Academy Awards on a regular basis. You know, they are just the best film school we have in Germany. So I hung out with them and learned everything.
And is this the first,
also,
how different are your other films compared to this one? Like tonally?
Well, the others were the practice. That's what I was going at. going for and getting at. I never went to film school, so I just felt like I needed to practice more. And I did three just 5-minute short films and then a web series in 2 parts.
And you did an amazing music video for Matt.
Yeah, right? And that's when I launched my production company, which is doing all kinds of things like music videos, commercials, mm-hmm. everyone some awards, you know.
I got to tell you, like being a musician, when you see like a musician's wife direct a music video, I was like, at first I was like, oh, this could be
nepotism. Oh.
Yeah, well, it could be, but it was so bitchin'. I was like, I remember I wrote you a message. I was like, dude, this is super good. This is so awesome. So I knew your movie was going to be kick-ass.
I have a question. How involved were you in the editing process? Did you turn it over to an editor, or were you like...
That is an...
I do everything in my company,
right?
So I know how to edit. But Martin Aslin is a phenomenal young editor who is a dear friend of ours,
yes.
And I didn't want to edit it. Right. You know, I just wanted to trust somebody with the story and what's happening.
I just asked because, like, we were talking a little bit before the show started. There's so many moments in the film that are created just through letting a scene sit before you cut. I mean, just like in editing, some of the scenes were really. Some of the performances were really drawn out with the extended edit or just holding on a thing, or, you mm-hmm. know, holding on a expression.
Well, as an observer of the production, I can definitely say that her direction or the style of directing that she wanted to implement here was a lot of that.
Okay.
So the editing definitely played into it.
So I didn't know if, like, you had a different vision than the editor, like, no, I cut it like this,
no,
or
Martin
if he sort
Martin
of followed what you wanted.
No, he already did an amazing rough cut, and then we... did it together, okay. The rest pretty much.
Because there's so many, like we were talking about, like so many moments where that you guys just let stuff hang, or there's just like silence where it's the stuff soak in.
Yeah, and I mean...
It's like breathing room.
Yeah, there's like a lot of breathing room, but it takes a few minutes for your brain to adjust to it, because the way our brains are so screwed up with the internet today.
Well,
and everything.
Yeah, we need like immediate kind of...
Yeah, and so we have to learn to like, okay, there's a setup here and we'll get... There'll be a better payoff if we let the setup build type of thing. Yeah.
And Eddie, just so you know, Eddie actually is also an editor. And so he notices...
So talented.
No, no, no,
so
but
talented.
Really, he notices those nuances.
Go to eddieedits.com.
He notices those things. So if he comments on something like that, that's a huge compliment.
Well, no, I was just very, because it was like, that's what really took me is like the pacing of the film. Because usually with a short, people try to just like punch you in the face.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And you guys.
I was a little skeptical about that in conversations with Jeff.
But I'm saying, like, that's with a short, you want to, some people, you just want to grab people and like wring their neck.
Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, after really digging into that and having a conversation with Jessica, we realized that a few of the Oscar nominated films in recent years, including, I believe, what was Fish Tank and Wasp, they are in the vicinity of 20 to 25 minutes as well.
Yeah.
It was implied that most short films had to be pretty short so that people can grab onto them.
Well, that's what you're like constructed to do.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I've witnessed quite a few that did so well.
Man, that's where you guys were like, no, everyone chill the fuck out and just watch, and it'll draw you in.
Well, that's the other thing too, to tell a whole story in that short amount of time.
Right.
It's
right.
Like
right.
To A, keep your attention for that long is one thing. But also to tell a fully developed story in that short amount of time. I mean, that's like when the credits are rolling, you know, in a feature. It's just like
the style or, you know, the tone you set in the first like 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, we're so used to people just like screaming and like you're trying to like well, and but like you set the tone you set. You're like.
So
I'm gonna fucking I'm gonna shove that up your ass.
I'm just painting. I'm sculpting.
No, you're not.
What you're saying.
You're ruining my questions.
It's like an authentic moment.
I know.
Over.
I try, but that's why. I have to tease him a little.
I actually have good questions.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Eddie, I'm gonna
we're
kill
all
you.
Ears. No, we're with you.
I fucking forgot the.
No.
No, that's not
no,
true.
You were going
come
somewhere.
On, come on.
God damn it. No, it forces the person to sit there and go, what's going on? What's what? Okay. And then next thing you know, you can't take your eyes off of it.
Nice.
You know?
Oh, well, that's aww. Really sweet. Thank you.
Because you're so used to everything that's put out there now. Everything's got to be 2 minutes long and you've got to be screaming and flashing.
That's a great
and,
point because, you know what? I never really thought about the pacing. I was just in it.
That's
I
the was, first thing that hit me. I was like, wow,
that's
this
crazy.
You guys
yeah.
really, like, it's the first thing that hit me. It was like, this, the pacing I mean, it's deliberate. It's obviously a deliberate pacing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the editor just like fell asleep and didn't cut.
And I'm from Europe too, so if
it's
you
a different
look at European
style of
films,
filmmaking.
You know, yeah. They take way more time. There's less music.
And there's
and
definitely
everything.
That feel.
Like more emptiness.
There's a, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. There's a much more like, I'm not saying nihilistic feel, but like there's a much more empty.
It's like absorbing the human experience
exactly.
A little more rather than like the Sparkles or the Transformers, you know, feel.
What I loved and respected about the film too, it wasn't just bells and whistles. It was so character developed and story based, which
you.
Is the
That's
shit.
That's what we were just talking about.
Well, I know, but I mean like.
That's exactly what we were just talking.
Well,
you
I'm just
summing
it up.
My,
I'm here.
You just totally took what I was saying and reworded.
I made it more accessible for our listeners.
Oh my God.
No, but really, it's the truth. I mean, in that amount of time, it's that's not easy to
Thank
do.
Thank you so much.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you did the first edit, what was the time of it? Like, did you edit a lot? Did you have to edit a lot of it?
Well, we had to. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm more of a feature film writer, and I'm actually writing the long version of this story right now. So it was definitely more of a... of a stretch to cut things out, so we had to like cut significant chunks of dialogue sometimes in the editing room and everything. So I think the first edit was 32 minutes,
something.
Wow, you guys cut out what, like 6 minutes, 7 minutes?
Yeah,
wow,
exactly.
I think so. But that was a rough cut too; it wasn't like fine tuned yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
It's pretty standard too. I mean,
Martin, can you call us and let us know what this is?
He's like listening. Like, damn it, they
that
don't
was
know.
Not correct. It was exactly 38.9.
Now I know you got some really amazing, exciting press from the LA Weekly. They were on the cover of the LA Weekly with Hunter, right?
Well, it was actually
that was Sander,
the inspiration of the film, and Jessica can
right.
speak to that. Sander Mazejowski. You can.
Yeah. Well, God the way you. It happens is that Sander. Came into my life, so he's my friend who is the paraplegic who was the inspiration for the story. He came into my life through, I met his father Robert, and then I met Cheryl, and then I loved them, and then I met him. And then I was like, you are a badass in a wheelchair. This guy is, you know, rock and roll, still lives his life as if nothing has happened, goes partying, goes, takes pictures, amazing pictures, by the way, and all that stuff. So I was really inspired by him. I was like, okay, you are in a wheelchair. And you are one of the most inspirational people I've ever met. So I made him kind of the hero of my story, that he actually go gets his life and, you know, is amazing despite
yeah.
and everything he's going through. And just to educate you, when you're paralyzed, you know, you don't even have control over your bowel function anymore. You know?
That scene, I mean, there's one scene. Where,
right. Don't give away too much.
I'm not giving it away, but, you know, it's like when you're in that moment watching the scene and then that, you know, they pull the catheter.
Right.
And like, it's like, oh
yes.
my God, I didn't
yes.
even
These
think
are the, this is the nitty
that
gritty.
Intimate moment being like
right.
that, you know?
Right. So, you know, they have to deal with a lot, you know, sores, he's constantly in pain, he can only sit or lay.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like so much they're dealing with, accessibility to buildings, you know, yada, yada, yada,
well, I think
you
like,
name it.
When you're given that set of circumstances in life, I think you have two ways you can go with it. You
yes,
can either.
Exactly. And he chose the
yeah.
better one. So that already happened. So I wrote the film. He was okay with it. I, you know, took actually some things that he was saying, you know, I was like, okay, this needs to be in the film. This is amazing. So that all happened. And then we already, finished the Kickstarter campaign, and then in January, LA Weekly put him on the cover.
That's amazing.
And made a cover story
that
about him because they realized
incredible.
How badass he is. So.
Yes.
Our studio audience loves that. They love it. It's a tearjerker.
No, but truly, if you actually listen to him and just spend some time with him, it's I'm just amazed by his energy. I don't know what else to say to that, but.
Well, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
But what you had this like. Tinge of darkness and realism in it too. It wasn't preachy. It wasn't any, like you got the subtleties, the nuances without it being stuffed down your throat. You know what I mean? So I know, let's talk a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign. When did
Sure.
you start it? How much were you able to raise to fund the project? Because I mean, that's in and of itself an amazing feat what you guys did.
Thank you.
Before the movie, Had you shot it before then, or were you
No. I mean, I approached Alex if he wants to be on board, and once we started the Kickstarter campaign, he was like, I'm out. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, I'll see you in a month.
Let me know how it works out.
How much did you guys raise in the Kickstarter campaign?
Well, altogether, we had to raise some a little bit more afterwards, but we got like $28,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And like, that's
all
not
to
easy.
Us.
Just in my just bank account.
Now we're going to the Bahamas.
Check out to.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, I mean, yes, for anybody who wants to crowdfund, not a walk in the park.
No.
I mean, we have spent probably a good chunk of like 5 months of our lives just dedicated on that, you know, because.
And what was the budget for the
$30,000.
Well, yeah, first, when I like actually broke things down, I told her that it may not be possible with 25 or less.
Yeah.
But you guys stretched 30 though, because the way the film looks.
It started off at 31. That's really
weird. You guys really stretched it though. I mean,
yeah. But that's the beauty of independent filmmaking is that you have so much control on what you can and cannot do. Yeah.
Right. And then we got all these sponsors.
Yes.
We found incredible sponsors. We have 6 sponsors now.
Yes.
So yeah. Those
amazing.
Things, you know, that's how you...
And L.A. became such a character in the film,
yeah.
too.
Oh,
which
big
was
time.
Nice.
Big yeah. time. I mean, the story was so location-centric.
Yeah.
And that gave us a great opportunity.
But you guys let that be part of it, you know.
Exactly.
You didn't try to shoot around LA. You shot in LA,
right.
you know.
Yeah,
and in the coolest spots too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they LA became part of the story.
Thank
it wasn't
you.
Like let's try to make this not look like LA.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
without giving the story away, why don't you tell our listeners like what parts of LA were your favorite places to shoot and what were the most difficult?
Well, my personal favorite, if I can identify one, was the riverbed.
Yeah.
We were actually going around for quite some time trying to establish a skate park that we were going to use to have the skate scenes, but it was a little bit more tedious than expected. And I actually am trying to remember how we came about
the riverbed.
The
riverbed's so iconic, though.
It is.
Terminator
and
2.
Grease. Exactly. And what is it?
Grease.
The one Italian Job, I think.
The Italian Job. Yeah. I mean, it's like that concrete riverbed in LA is so like iconic.
Oh yeah, it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise because I wanted to shoot at that amazing skate park at the beach.
Right.
And then it was just unaffordable. And then I watched some skater videos, and then we got a skater sponsor, and I was like, what else can we use?
Yeah. No, the LA
that
riverbed
is great
just
looking.
Like...
And then you know, I was looking at all these videos, and they were like, I saw skaters skating in the riverbed.
Skaters will skate
I'm like,
anywhere,
this is even better. You know. Yeah, but this is even great looking.
Well, the angles, too. You have the angles.
Oh, my God.
That's what made it so great.
The aesthetics. And ironically, it was
I'm glad you guys didn't get the skate park.
Yeah, I know. That was a bit more boring.
Well, I was just going to say, ironically, it was actually a lot easier and completely affordable to get compared to like any other skate park in town.
Well, the challenge was because we had 6 professional skaters and they had to come from Monroe's.
Yes.
Really far away. So they came... just for free, completely, just to help us, and practiced in the riverbed because it's so steep.
Yeah.
We had some, like, injuries practicing. They just had to get used to it, but it was a kick for them.
Yeah.
And they're all coming out to the premiere next week, so
yes,
they loved
exciting.
It so much.
Where are you guys premiering it?
In downtown.
It's a gallery downtown, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's private information.
You can come in.
We don't want anyone to see it ever.
You're
invited, Eddie.
So you're writing the feature for it, right?
Yeah.
But you're planning. Are you?
And
planning?
He's like, "Who is in the wheelchair?"
Have you cast the feature? No, I'm like, no. Do you actually? Are you actually moving forward on trying to use the short to fund the feature?
Yes.
Okay. That was my question.
Checkmate.
I think that was her idea from the get-go. She really wanted to do a feature. The short is, you know, typically and commonly a stepping stone to make something bigger.
And for me, it was the thesis film, you know, because.
Yes.
The other films were 5 minutes, and I didn't feel like everything you said was so amazing. I wanted to create, I wanted to practice creating characters with depth and the storyline and everything and tell it. And, you know, I feel actually very comfortable being able to do something in 25 minutes and now stretching it to longer.
To 2 hours. And
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm building on the story and I'm adding more exciting elements to it, but...
And would you use the same characters for the feature?
Not the same actors. I'm kidding.
Never
Sorry.
Them again.
We love you.
Sorry, Nora Hunter,
we love you.
Nora's just like, what?
Let me make a call.
Your phone
but Jennifer
rolling,
Lawrence
right?
would be perfect.
No, obviously, we don't know how the next step is going to be, but...
Are you guys doing the festival circuit with it?
Yes, we already submitted.
Yes. Okay.
Currently, you're currently raising some funds for the festival circuit, right? I saw a Kickstarter...
What I meant. Like, we raised more to be able to do that. So we have... We're good. I mean, we can always use more, of course. Don't stop sending the money. Let me plug chewshortfilm.com.
Yes.
You can donate. Yes.
No, that's what this is about. Yes. Right. Where can people find the movie to see it? Where can people view it?
They cannot view it yet.
Well, that's okay. But in time, there'll be a release where people can view it.
Well, the nature of it is that we have to go through the entire festival run because many festivals...
They want the world premiere.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that will likely take another 6 to 8 months. At that point, we will definitely be placing it online on different venues. And
yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you were mentioning some short film distribution.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of potential now. I'm almost feeling like the industry is shifting a little bit because short films are actually being distributed.
Yeah.
Wow. And there's a few pretty reputable platforms out there that have been giving back to the independent filmmaker quite a bit. And so we're going to...
Like Beyond the Netflix?
Yeah, Beyond the Netflix.
No, because I mean, they're like making some crazy good shit right now.
Yeah, they are. And in fact, we're realizing, and they're realizing, that there is an audience. There's a lot of people that actually enjoy just watching the short film. Mm-hmm. To me, it was a bit of like a light bulb thinking, I would actually also be very much interested in sitting down and just watching a 20-minute film rather than a 2-hour one if I just want to see something quick.
Yeah. Yes. There's no reason the way... Everything's going with streaming and all that. Like, there's no reason there shouldn't be an entire dedicated side to short films.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? There's a streaming site, too. I can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty popular as well.
Now I forgot my thought. Yeah. Yes.
Damn it.
Everybody's just like, oh, man. Oh, I got nothing to say. Right,
secret to filmmaking.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if you donate... then you can get the private link for the film. So
yes.
Our backers actually see the film before everyone else. So
it pays to be a sponsor.
We love our backers.
No, that's what I mean. Really, that's an amazing thing that they funded and helped build this. And it gives them an opportunity to be a part of it. Yeah. That's the cool
thing.
And
that's exactly what happened. I mean, our main backer is a woman, which is amazing. Maria, yes. You know who you are. Yeah. You are insanely amazing. Yes. So she's flying into the premiere from
that's
San Francisco because she is so supportive. I mean, she
don't
needs
give Eddie
to
her
be
email.
On the pedestal.
You gotta crash, she's going to crash on your couch.
But she's so humble, though. She might just like hide in the corner and doesn't even want to be mentioned. So, I mean, the amount of backers and the amount of giving that we received from people that either lost a parent or just, you know, saw the authenticity and the heart of the story, it was insane. I mean, some people gave us incredible amounts that just found us on Kickstarter. Yeah. We've never met them.
That's crazy.
It's really mind-blowing when you actually see that because you truly do not expect. You know, you want to, like, have that low expectation so you're not too disappointed. But the amount of angels that, I mean, we refer to them as angels that just out of nowhere, we never met them, never really, you know, interacted, and they just wanted to give a pretty good chunk of money. We can't thank them enough. Like, that's the only reason why.
What did you tell them?
What
did you do? Like, no, I'm saying, like,
and he's like, I want to know
What was the pitch to get them to fund it?
I made it just for
the
record.
First time you ever made it.
No, that's not true. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
Did you guys shoot something
for? Question, no. Back to your question. You know, like, we spent so much time perfecting the video. You know, putting a lot of information in the video and things like storyboard sketches and this and that.
I know there's a lot of people out there. I don't. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they're not. But there are people trying to get their own projects funded, and you guys obviously succeeded at it.
Right.
Yes. So, like, how? I just want to know the secret of succeeding.
Right.
At
so that's what I mean.
Project.
Like, put a lot of effort, a lot of heart, a lot of personal touch to your video, and then follow up with every single person on phone or Facebook messages or anything like that. Because the people we talk to
just
in
engage as
like,
much as you can.
Hey, did you see this? You know, because there's so much out there these days that people just don't see it.
I know, there's so much noise.
I know, and you don't even know how many backers we got just reaching out in person and saying, hey, please, this is my film. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and it was amazing.
I think for the most part, people actually just don't realize how much work goes into crowdfunding. It's like a job.
I mean,
it is a job. It is a day in, day out. You are only doing that. You're breathing it. You're living it. The emails, the phone calls. you really have to put yourself out there so that people can actually notice you and want to be part of this.
Right.
I'm actually preparing a crowdfunding campaign that's launching in on Saturday, and so I'm pretty deep in that, and that's what's it's teaching me the same thing again.
Well, and you also see like how many people believe in the project, and like, you know, money talks. It's like people like, you want to make this project, okay, and you're probably on the inside going, oh my god, I hope people just donate, and then you start to see that it's coming and it's becoming a reality, and now it's like, okay, we gotta get our shit together now, right?
And it's not, I think the best tip I can give is to not look at the outcome of the campaign, but just do what you love and really put your heart in it and believe in your project, you know, like do something really, really awesome and show how hard you're working for it. Because a lot of videos that I see, it's just like one person on a cell phone and, you know, I'm not going to give you any money because you didn't put any effort into it.
Right.
So, you know, the competition is big these days.
Yeah,
so you better like really get your shit together before and then put it up and
you're
blow
gonna see
us
a
away.
Lot of crowdfunding videos for Eddie. And he's going to be on the cell phone.
Really want to go to Disneyland, guys. Really want to go.
Really want to pay my electricity bill.
Tired of Knott's Berry Farm. I want to go to Disneyland, guys.
That's GoFundMe.
GoFundMe to Disneyland, everybody.
That's amazing.
Do you guys have a like a Twitter account or website for the film and people can follow stuff?
ChewShortFilm.com.
ChewShortFilm.com.
And you can find us on Facebook, ChewShortFilm as well.
ChewShortFilm?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Is there Twitter? At Chew Short Film?
I think I created one, but I never used it. No.
Guys,
there's so many backers that are like, they never tweeted me back. I mean,
Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening,
yes.
We love you.
Thank you for
this. You really made our campaign happening.
It's happened.
Well, we look
and
forward to
foreign. Both.
We're foreign.
Both.
Right. We look forward to more movies. What's next for the two of you? You're like, film festivals first.
Tell
I mean, you know, we're really, really hoping to get into some festivals and, you know, show the film, getting more exposure and go from there. I mean, it's really fate, you know. You never know who you're going to meet and who wants to be a part of it and who wants to do the feature film version. And, you know, I want to, like, keep going and I'm writing another film for someone, actually, beginning of the year.
That's so awesome.
It's awesome. I'm growing into my writer director personality, which I'm really, really happy about, especially after my grieving period. You know, I've arrived at like, okay, let's do this.
Well, it's therapeutic, everything that you're doing. It's also like, you know, it's like nurturing. You're like, I'm answering that like inner voice. I'm nursing.
Yeah,
and he's rolling his eyes right now. He's like,
Nikhil was not crying.
No crappy sound effect for that.
No, I was trying to be intimate. I was trying to be real.
You did it very well.
Really?
Well, we look forward to seeing many more movies from
you. So, ChewShortFilm.com.
Yes.
ChewShortFilm.com.
And that can take you everywhere else? Is that like a to the Facebook, to the whatever
else?
Yes.
Everything.
ChewShortFilm. CHEW, shortfilm.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
Got it.
Chew got it.
Chew got it.
Chew know what you're talking about.
Chew got some good.
Chew got it.
Chew better see the movie.
Well,
Jessica.
Since I actually mentioned the crowdfunding, I'm also going to plug that in.
Oh, yeah, please, go for it. Do it now.
Living with.
And we're all out of time. Just kidding.
Stop it,
I'm
Alex.
Head out now. This is great.
Go ahead.
Livingwithgracefilm.com. You can go there and check out my next project, which launches the campaign on Saturday. It follows a young woman that is dealing with being diagnosed with a stigmatized illness, which is HIV, and coming to terms with it and trying to embrace her new identity and her new normal. It's a very, very, very important film to myself and the writer-director, Sebastian Sancanaro. And it would be really great to
the living
living with grace
living with grace film.com.
You really said that like you memorized it. I'm like, that was impressive.
You kind of have
that's
to.
A pitch.
Kind
of
have to.
That's
no, of
a
course,
pitch.
Of course,
101.
Yeah.
Well, we hoped and we know that you're going to get into a lot of film festivals with this movie. We got a
Fingers
sneak peek
crossed.
Last night.
Stop it.
So no, really. I feel strongly about this movie. It's going to do
you.
Some things.
Thank you so
going to do some things. Chew all better see it. On behalf of Eddie Pence and I, Jessica and Alex, thank you for being wonderful.
Thank you
for having
us.
We're going to have you back after you do the whole film festival circuit.
Yes.
After I'm in the feature, right?
That's right. You're going to see
you guys,
Eddie
you can interview
in all
me.
Of the new movies.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.